God's about a face. God, no human grace. Your eyes about a face.
Are you there, God? It's me, Divine.
What do you want, queer?
Could you help an old hooker out and bless me with an intro?
Nope. It's Sunday. My day off. I wrote a commandment about that.
Come on, I'm begging of you, God.
Jesus Christ. Alright. Glory be and hallelujah. She has returned. Welcome to Full of Grace. The second coming. And now, here to resurrect the slander, your heavenly hostess, she's loud, she's opinionated, and she's probably drunk, the Divine Grace.
Hey!
Yay! Trying to clean his ears off.
No, somehow we have devolved from chatter about sweet baby Jesus into how to clean somebody's ear problem.
Michael, let's talk about poo.
You want to talk right?
It's been a couple of weeks since we talked about
it. Can I come over there and shit on your titties, Caroline? We can say shit now, by the way.
Zac Efron.
You know, we should, that we are talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
can you picture Jesus wiping his butt?
Yes.
How would he do that?
Well, I imagine that he would get an infection from the hole in his hand.
Here's the thing. Here's the whole thing.
Where's the whole thing?
When I used to work for a singing competition, we would get these people.
A major national singing competition that people idolized.
They did, here in America, for about four seasons, and then they didn't really care. When I joined the show towards the end, because I am the kiss of death, few people know I was originally Cousin Oliver. So put me on something, and I'm going to make sure it gets canceled. I'm the Linda Lavin, if you will, of Broadway. Because every time Every time Linda Lavin goes into the show. Anyway, point of the story is, what was I talking about?
You were talking about Jesus?
American Idol.
American Eyeball.
Aha! They would come in and sing these songs, these Christian kids, these homeschooled animatrons that had no social skills whatsoever. And the songs are just...
Bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing.
Like,
in the sheaves.
No, like the Christian rock songs, like, in Jesus' blood all over my face, and I'm singing about him hanging on a cross in front of me dying. I love you, Jesus. Really? I'm like, oh, God, crown of thorns rubbing on my face. It's just these awful
Are these for
thorns.
Real? Like, these are really ones that I don't know.
I don't know, but I feel like I could win.
You
a,
could, oh, yeah.
I could win a Crossy, which is a Christian music.
Really, did you ever see that episode of South Park, though, where they decide they're going to be, like, one of those Christian boys?
Oh, my God, yeah. And they...
That's exactly what it was. Oh, Jesus!
It really
With
is.
The blood in your hands, dripping all down your face.
It's all these horrible graphic songs, and... Because they're homeschooled.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you are just joining us,
yeah,
which you're not, you wouldn't just... what you don't know is that we were just talking about a video... That was given to me by a Christian friend of mine from basically three Christian pastors apologizing.
Walk into a bar.
Three, yeah. A Catholic, a Baptist, and a Protestant, and a Lutheran walk into a bar.
And the bartender says, I can't serve you pastors today. And the pastor said, why can't we sit at this table? And the bartender said, because that table's saved.
Ah!
High five!
Okay. They have put out a video basically apologizing to us buttfuckers, cocksuckers, for treating us poorly for the last few thousand years. And now I'm supposed to be okay with that. So what were you saying during break?
I was just... So you were saying, you know, it's too little too late. So
well, it's not. It's not.
No, but when would be the right time?
About 1,500 years ago.
Realistically, from here on, when would be the right time? Would there be a right time?
I don't...
Is at this point, is it too late?
Shut that door. I don't know. Yeah, I think in... Well, no, it's not too late. I don't think it's too late because it is a... it is the world's now largest religion, right?
What?
No.
Christianity?
No,
yeah.
Muslims?
Muslims.
Yeah.
All right, so it's the world's second most, but we're the most powerful, the Christians.
That's true.
The Christians are the real ones.
I love that Devin Green always says, Abraham, the father of three faiths, you know, the Muslim, Islamic, and Christian, two of them totally rubbish.
No, Muslim, or Islam, Judaism, and
yeah.
Christianity.
Yeah, oh, two of them, total garbage. Now, that's what I don't understand. It's like, what is the big...
That's my... when I.
What's
that's
the
my
big fucking problem? You all believe in the First Testament, which is the biggest pile of bullshit I've
ever heard. My biggest argument with them always is this. It's, first of all, you can't even agree. You have so many denominations of one story. You have the Christianity has, I don't know, how many thousands of denominations? So you can't even agree on one thing.
Well, let's
say there was one denomination. Let's say that the Catholics had it.
Seven.
You read the Bible. You've got the Gospels according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they don't even agree. They're in the same book.
That's my point.
They do not even agree on the same Christ story. But it was
well, that's why you end up having.
And then when you say, well, I'm not so sure about this, you're told, how dare you? You're going to hell. Don't you dare judge. Don't you question. It's in the Bible. But what part am I supposed to put? Shut up. Just do as we say. Well, thanks to Michael, a couple years ago, he dragged me kicking and screaming for my faith and my love in Jesus Christ. No, it wasn't. It was Michael. Michael and I would have these religious debates. And he would ask me questions often. Like, I would say, honey, sometimes, you know, if I could answer that, it would be science. It wouldn't be faith. And a religion is based on faith. And that got me through. That was the answer I was always given, and that got me through for, you know, for almost 40 years. Until finally, one day he started asking me some questions that I thought, no, if I answered these, I'd be full of shit. I'd be full of shit. I can't answer that and not be a fraud. So I've gotten to a point where, like I said, I personally know I have a relationship with my higher power. I do not have any doubt there is something beyond us. I do not believe in my heart. Well, Michael and I, Stephen, we have a former priest, a friend who was a priest. And I asked him once, like, how do you reconcile, like, because he's no longer a priest, and he still has faith. He's like, well, so how do you reconcile the Buddhists or, you know, the other religions? Are they all just put on this planet to go to hell? And he said, no. No, they're all right. They're all different paths to the same...
They're different perceptions.
They're all different paths to the same source, is what he said. And I thought, well, that's a great way to look at it. Well, but as I've gotten older, I don't believe any of those paths are correct. I think that they're great. Like, if they get you feeling you're on your way. But I think that it's a bunch of... It's human beings, carbon-based animals... trying to understand something that we're just not ever going to understand until we are out of this realm, this dimension, or this plane of existence, whatever that is. And I do believe that. I have reasons for that, but they're not enough for me to buy anymore, to buy into this dogmatic bullshit that's been shoved down my throat since I was a child, which as I've gotten old enough or older and rebellious enough, I realize they're all just means of control. They're just ways to control you, to keep the masses, like the Christ story. What did Jesus say? Pay your taxes, don't fight back, turn the other cheek. That sounds like something the Romans would invent. So you'd pay your damn taxes and wouldn't fight them when you did it. Be like Jesus. Pay your taxes. Don't fight back. Well, that's all great and fine. Let's say that the Christ story is completely real, even though I don't buy it for a second, because that Christ story has been told
hundreds
of times before Jesus Christ. Horus, the Egyptian god Horus, thousands of years before Christ. Born on December 25th to a virgin, three wise men.
Was a carpenter.
Was a, you know, it's like.
It's all the same story.
Died and was resurrected. It's been told over and over and over and over. And to say that immediately makes me a pariah as a Christian.
It's an amalgamation. The Christ story is an amalgamation of several well-known. It's like a greatest hits.
Hundreds of them, though.
Yeah.
Hundreds of times this was told before it stuck with
Jesus. It's the greatest hits of the best stories. It's the, the books they would sell? Time Life. You know, it's the...
Hi, I'm Sandy with Time Life.
It's the Time Life greatest hits of religion. And if you think about how it...
It's like Jesus standing in front of wood paneling singing.
I started looking at the mechanics of it. If you look at a map and you figure out where the birthplace of religion is, the Fertile Crescent,
Right.
Mesopotamia.
Sumeria, that, yeah.
Yeah, if you look at how it spread through trade routes, and who went from one place to another but were the traders,
the gypsies, the
shepherds, the herders, they would, you know, move from...
The nomads,
and they would sit around campfires, and they would meet other nomads, and those nomads would tell their story, and they would tell their story, and then it was a game of telephone, and the next time you went and sat down with some other nomads, you took the best part of their story, and you added it to your story, and suddenly you have a religion.
Now, all right, so here's something interesting that I have seen, because I really, really enjoy... watching, especially like on Nat Geo or Not so much History Channel anymore because they've just gotten bonkers. But Nat Geo did this really, really great documentary on the Great Flood. Now, the Great Flood...
The Flood of 82?
The Great Flood of 82.
In Indiana.
The Flood. The Big Flood.
Oh, Katrina.
Noah's Flood.
Who?
Noah. Noah.
No, I don't know who we're talking
Noah
about.
Noah of the Ark.
Oh, Noah. Thank
Here's
you.
The deal.
You're thinking of Indiana Jones.
Here's the deal. The first time you read that, the first time that story shows up in literature is Gilgamesh. It's in the epic poem of Gilgamesh, it's mentioned. But that story is shared through almost every ancient civilization, even civilizations that were not privy to one another at the time. And they tried to explain that. And it turns out that around the time that this story was sort of getting, it was sort of started, was basically the end of the Ice Age. And at that point of time, there would have been a great wall of ice, and, you know, as it sort of descends down on the world.
The Great Wall that Mexico paid for.
Right. And that it would have pulled an enormous lake of water at some point. And that it wouldn't have been unheard of for that wall to break. Basically unleashing the equivalent of all the Great Lakes onto the Fertile Crescent. Mm-hmm. So as far as they know, the entire world would have been flooded. That is the entire world. Mm-hmm. This idea of, though, we've got two of each animal and this, that, and the other. I'm sure there's been some artistic liberty taken with that. But there's a very good probability that there was, in fact, at the end of the Ice Age, a flood that washed out a huge expanse of human civilization at the time, killing lots of people.
Sure.
That would have been the beginning of the tale that we know as the...
But no crazy person built a boat and got two penguins on it all the way up.
No, of course not. That's what I'm saying. Is that's all based on an actual event, a physical event that happened on the planet. That there was a flood. There was a huge, like an epic flood.
Sure.
Epic enough that many civilizations knew of this flood and talked about it before ever meeting each other. So there's, you know, but the idea that, yes, that the entire planet, when nobody even knew there was a planet, was covered in water. Did you see the film, Noah?
Starring with Russell Crowe? Steve Carell?
Russell Crowe.
No.
Oh.
I feel like the only thing, and I mean, okay, go ahead, get ready to shoot it down, boys. You asked what religion I was, and now that I've had a chance and listened to everything they say, I think the only one that really makes sense to me is presented on the wonderful television show Ancient Aliens. And I cannot not believe that scientifically we were visited by other planets.
You're preaching the choir on that one. I have no problem believing that. I don't care how stupid that sounds either. I have no problem.
And because of in their primitive way of what's the word? Of documenting what was happening, you know, they've got people like the hieroglyphs, so to speak, like looking up towards the sky. Well, of course, that's where the aliens came from. That's where the gods went to. But, oh, bring it, conspiracy theorist.
Anti-conspiracy theorist.
I believe that's a conspiracy.
The entire establishment of religion was, in my opinion, from the precepts of humanity, was that we didn't know why it flooded, or it snowed, or the sun shined, or whatever, and so we invented... A reason, a god controlled it. There was no explanation why the sun rose.
Wait, let me ask you, like, you're so diehard atheist, you firmly believe there is absolutely no higher power.
Correct. I believe it is all just science.
It's lights out when you die.
I don't believe in an afterlife or a reincarnation or any such thing. When you're done, you're
why
done.
Is that?
There's no evidence of it. I believe in evidence. I've come to the conclusion, again, reassessing my own familial
okay, but
beliefs.
But when my mother was a little girl, there was no evidence of Pluto.
There was evidence of Pluto as far as the 1800s.
No, there was not. Pluto was discovered in my mother's lifetime.
Okay, all right. Well, but we didn't even know it existed. But we didn't say there's another planet out there. We just don't know about it.
No, we didn't know in my mother's lifetime. We didn't know there were other galaxies. This was it.
But we've made the claim as a species that there is something on the other side of the Big Bang. Mm-hmm. And there is no evidence as such. It's called Russell's teapot. It's a theory that essentially Russell was a scientist in the 1800s, or I believe the 1800s, don't quote me. But
so well after Jesus.
Well after Jesus. And he theorized, he said, you know, the evidence required to suggest that there is a God is the same as me saying that there is a teapot orbiting, I think it was Mars, and we just can't see it. If we could only just find it, then we could prove that, you know, there is a teapot orbiting Mars. And we're at this point now where, scientifically speaking, we've dug down into subatomic particles. You know, the Higgs boson particle is also known as the God particle, because we never thought it existed, but we surmised that it did. Or, I'm sorry, I take that.
So you're really more agnostic then?
No, I am an atheist.
No, he's an atheist. All right.
But you just admitted
that. Wait, can I say something? You didn't really answer. But answer this question, and maybe you didn't understand the way he's saying it, because I don't think you did. You're basically saying there has been a time throughout history when we didn't know something that we knew later.
Well, my point is
go ahead.
The absence of evidence is not the evidence of absence.
I agree. But I can also say that, you know, unicorns exist and they shit rainbow sprinkles. It's up to you to prove it.
No, you're right. The burden of proof is completely squarely on our shoulders.
So with all of the theists that have existed throughout humanity, yet nobody has come up with any proof. The closest thing we get is bleeding Virgin Marys in Brazil, or
it's always in a Spanish speaking
country. That's just it. It's that once you drop the theatricality from all of this, the scent of roses and the bleeding virgin and the resurrections and the walking on water and the elephant Ganesh and this, that, and the other, like, once you remove all of that, the core of it is still that there is a, there has, in all of human civilization, there has been an understanding, or this, maybe it's just a hope, that there is something greater than all of us. Now, I don't have to, I'm not somebody who necessarily believes in intelligent design or any of that sort of stuff, but I just sort of feel like when it comes to religion or other intelligences of any sort, I think that just not having proof or seeing them is not enough. Especially considering now, as we are learning more about string theory and particle physics and multiverses and we're understanding now that the universe is built of lots of things that we physically, that our bodies will not allow us to understand in this present state. Now, we will agree scientifically that energy never ceases to exist, correct?
Correct.
That is the mathematical
correct
constant. So what becomes of your energy?
It's transformed into the universe. It becomes plant matter, and that begets oxygen. You know, I mean, it's a very scientific explanation of how energy is broken down and redistributed.
Is that on Afterlife?
No. No, I don't consider...
It's after your life, isn't it?
But wait a second. Why not? We know that plants are alive, right? Let's say you say you become a plant.
But when I consider life to be...
conscious.
No, it doesn't have to be conscious.
That ant could have been...
Well, okay, well, wait a second. You're going back to, you believe that your energy moves on to other things, so that would then include other living things.
Yeah, but energy...
Like other humans, energy other animals.
Energy is not life. The sun is energy. It is not life.
But let's go back, though. The energy thing, you just said you agree that energy moves on, and you said like it goes into other things like plants.
You're not going to have life without energy, though.
So, right? No, but wait. But you just said only plants and trees that it goes to? Or can it go to anything else that has energy?
No, because energy, energy doesn't exist in non-living things. There's no life energy in a mountain. There's no life energy.
Life energy, but what's the definition of life energy?
Well, I mean, you're getting metaphysical here.
I defy you to stand in Times Square and tell me that those non-animated buildings do not have an energy. I mean that legitimately.
Life energy? Explain that. I've never heard that used.
A living thing. A mountain is not a living thing. A rock is not a living thing. A bird, a plant, a human, an animal. Yes, those are living things.
Well, it's very feng shui and Taoist, I guess. Then to disagree with that and say that, of course, a mountain has energy. Like, have you ever stood in the presence of Mount St. Helens?
There's energy within, under the mountain, but the mountain itself is not energy. So,
or walked into a room, been like, the room has such energy,
That's a vibe.
Something I would suggest to everybody, to everybody who listens to this, and I know we've talked about this before, but I would seek out, there are three volumes, I would just seek out the first of Zeitgeist on Netflix. Which is, and handles this huge sort of, I mean, there's a lot of like 9/11 stuff they sort of, and it doesn't say this is what's happening.
Oh, you're going to love it.
Oh, I've seen it.
But when they get into the whole religion aspect of things, that's where really I had to start, that's really when it changed for me, when I started seeing all of the Christ stories, they just line them up and go, this is how many times, and then they lay it out. The Christ story, they lay it out in such a way that you understand that the three wise men are actually the three stars in Orion's belt, and that they're all...
Which are the three grand pyramids.
That they're all sort of pointing to a spot in the sky where the sun will dip on the 25th, the shortest day, or the 22nd, really, and then start rising again for spring. That's the resurrection. And the way they explain all of this, even the when you see the paintings of Christ with the halo and then the cross behind him, that's the zodiac. It's literally the old zodiac behind him. The more I watched that, I was like, oh, well, I can. That's a great way to explain all this, how we've handled it. I don't have a problem buying any of that when it comes to what happens when you breathe your last. Nobody's going to be able to give you a definitive on that until they die. Not yet. Anyway, not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet.
And then I'll change my mind.
I completely, I'm not wagging a finger at you. I understand that.
I am.
But keep in mind that it was just 100 years ago that we were sitting around a table like this having mediums, and seances to get through this. We are just now in the baby steps of starting to understand what happens to a person's physical energy when they pass on. I understand where you're coming from, that the idea that we have to have something greater, and it's basically vanity, that we have to have, like, the idea that I can't just cease to exist, surely not me. Like, just 60, 80 years, and I'm suddenly out, the lights go out, that is a possibility. That's a possibility we all deal with So, all right, let's start there. But I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem. I've never had a problem at all believing that just because I don't know it doesn't mean I'm not in store for something huge after this. And I've had several, I flatlined three times in my life. Never once had a near-death experience because I was completely drugged out. Wouldn't have remembered it. And I was a child. But that doesn't discount the people who have. And maybe maybe you're right. Maybe it's their brain shutting down and they're hallucinating and that sort of thing. But what if they're not? What if they're not? Do you know what I mean? What if?
I mean, there's always... it's nice to have a wish list.
But it's not. I guess that's the point I'm trying to make with you, Jay. Is that it's not... try to look at that not as a, like, ooh, I hope there's something after this. Try to look at it like, what if there is a habitable planet someplace else? Try to look at it scientifically instead of somebody wishing to live longer or exist past their expiration date. Try to look at it scientifically. Well, I do. I think I do. I look at it sort of like, well, like I know, like we are just now getting to this point where we're really starting to understand some of the big questions. I want to think that maybe we just haven't found the answer yet. Oh my God, it's my dad. Can you hear me?
Grace.
Well, we're going to cut. Let's break. What are we hearing?
Well, speaking of great religious stories, this is Flood from Jars of Clay.
Oh, God.
Are you there, God? It's me, Divine.
What? This is Sam from Gobert. And you are listening to Full of Grace Show. Thank you for listening.
There you go.
Thank you. Come again.
Thank you. Come again.
Rain on my face. Hasn't stopped. Raining for days. My world is a flood. Slowly I become one with the mud.
But if I can't swim after 40 days and my mind is crushed by the crashing waves that beat up so high that I cannot fall, let me alone. Lift me up. Flashing in the ocean, I'm losing control. Dark sky all around. Can't feel my feet touching the ground. But if I can't swim after 40 days and my mind is crushed by the crashing waves that beat up so high that I cannot fall, let me alone. Lift me up.
My eyes and dry, the stream still flowing, casting down all ways and sin and guilt that overthrow me.
Now, I ran out of the motel room, and I grabbed the first hooker I saw, passed out on the corner. I stole her purse. When she woke up, I said, "Your name is Jessica Hahn," and I threw her into the motel room, and I ran like hell.
We're back.
Oh, my God, we're back. What
that was Jars of Clay, Flood, a Christian rock band who somehow made it on the radio. That was a really good song, actually.
Oh, speaking of Christianity... Before we move on to Gaily Dispatch, an hour and a half later, I would like to read something that current listener Patrick had written on my wall.
Oh, yeah.
Which I was like, you know, I'd written like 3 pages worth of crap, and he was like, here's what he said about that video with the preachers.
Okay, yeah.
Apologizing, and I think I'm sorry to out you, Patrick, but I think he's a butt fucker.
Oh, good.
He said, "I can appreciate the sentiment behind the video, but I take great exception to the church trying to seek, quote, understanding with those whom we disagree. What is there to disagree about? I sure didn't choose my sexuality. It's no more a choice than their sexuality is to them. It's something that is deeply ingrained in my person. The way I see it, there is no need for the church to reach out to the LGBT community to seek a better understanding of our plight caused by those who denigrate and demonize us, who blame us for a majority of today's societal ills. They know exactly what they're doing. It is well past time they look within and examine their own hatred, of which I'm fairly certain that Jesus would be appalled at."
Yeah.
That's Patrick?
That's Patrick.
That's
yeah.
Patrick.
Patrick, fantastic.
And I was like, oh, thank you for saying one paragraph what took me 3 pages to learn.
But he's right.
But how many followers does this Jesus person have on Insta?
On Insta?
I think it's really before I
so,
start.
So, well, here's my big, big problem with Christianity as a whole. My biggest problem.
Your biggest problem with the whole.
With the whole. Seriously. Seriously. We are taught that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. That all things come through Christ, and that it's just peaceful, peaceful, peaceful. And of course that's been bastardized and turned into a weapon to shank us with. But let's talk about what Jesus was really saying. Be good, be peaceful, but he was still upholding a principle that was. Any Christian will tell you God is omnipotent. He knows everything that was.
He has erectile dysfunction.
He knows everything that was, is, and will be. So if you go to a Christian and say, would God have known a billion years ago that Chad was going to be born? Is he that smart? Yep. He knew. He knew you before you were born. Well, thank you very much. And then he made me, knowing that I was going to be a flaming butt fucker who wore women's clothing. and then he was going to send me to hell for it. I have a real problem with that. I can't reconcile a loving God. You can't say that he's a loving God who created you knowing. They're like, well, you have free will. Like, yeah, all right, fine. All right, so I have free will to go against his wishes. He still knew during the dinosaurs that he was going to create a faggot who he was going to send into eternal torture forever, right? I can't buy that. That doesn't make sense to me. Then you've got people like Rick, our Rick, Ricky. Because, you know, the Lord works in mysterious ways. I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't reconcile. You can't tell me that's a loving God. I love you so much that I created you knowing I was going to send you to a place that a demon was going to fuck your skull for eternity. I love you. No, bullshit. I think they all got it wrong. And I believe in my heart, Jay Skinner, DJ Jay Skinner, that the day will come sometime in the great sweet by and by that I'm going to bump into you and go, I told you so.
Well, I hope so.
And I'm going to have...
It's not like I don't want to.
No. And I'm going to be holding hands with an alien when I do it. And we're like, I told you, bitch. And Jesus is going to be like, ha, ha, ha. Guys, come here. Watch this trick. And I'm like, oh, can I get a Pinot Grigio? Because I'm at the tans are really bad with red wine. Oh, I'll just have a water. So... Well, that's really all I have to say. Do you want to go into Gaily Dispatch?
Sure.
Put down the tiara and pick up a mop, because we're about to spill the tea in today's...
Gaily Dispatch, auntie.
Well, there was a hurricane. A hurricane, y'all.
A hurricane.
There was a hurricane, y'all.
Oh, they didn't call your mom to get the update.
And she did call me today. Lord Chad, there is a hurricane. It's going to be like nothing y'all have ever seen in Florida. I'm like, Mom, it's a week away. And they don't know where it's going. She's like, well, I just hope y'all live through it. I'll be down in St. Augustine next weekend. I'm like, really? You're warning me about the hurricane and you're coming to it? Really? Okay, well, all right, Mama. All right. There was a huge hurricane. Harvey. Hurricane Harvey. Maybe somebody you know, Jew. Who was the Jewish character on South Park?
Kenny. No.
Kyle. Yeah, I'm going to start calling you Kyle.
Jew.
Only it was devastating. I'm sure this has absolutely nothing to do with global warming or climate change. No. But anyway, Houston, and I was supposed to go next week to two bookings in Houston. So, I was smited by Jesus Christ.
It's for all that butt sex you lust after.
I haven't had butt sex since I was 38. So. Oh.
That's why we can hear that now.
Yeah, I'm tight as a snare drum. Tight.
Tight.
Like Larry Gatlin's harmony. Tight. So, there's another on the way. Is it Irma?
Irma.
Harvey and Irma? Mm-hmm. Really? Who's naming? Who's naming these?
Who's next?
The National Weather Center is run by
Gladys. Hurricane Gladys is on the way.
The National Hurricane Center is run by a guy named
Moira.
Murray Head.
Hurricane Murray Moira Rosenberg. Is coming.
I have this to say about the hurricane names, and let's all just be honest here. We've all wanted one named after us.
No.
So that...
What's douchier than Hurricane Chad?
I've never thought about one being named after me.
So that we can get the newspaper that says, like, Michael blows Florida off the map, or whatever. You know what I mean? Am I the only egotistical person here that likes to do their name up on there?
Like, when did Matthew happen?
Oh, like last year. It was like, you know, it was one of those that received those memes of a lawn chair being blown over saying, Hurricane Matthew, we will rebuild. It was one of those. It's nothing great like Charlie.
No. Hurricane Chad. How tragic.
Wasn't there a Hurricane Chad? I feel like there was.
I'm sure there was, and probably. I'm sure that somebody's douchey haircut got wet.
But I love when they're like, when they say, because it sounds so weird to, like, you know, you always will remember Katrina and blah, blah, blah. But it's so funny, like, they're talking about Houston. I mean, if there's any comedy to be had, it was... The newscasters being like, they haven't seen anything like this since 1902 with Hurricane Harriet. Or, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Popular names of the time. With Hurricane Dorcas came through in 1887. But I did tear up a couple times watching some of the images, I have to say.
Of course.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's really like you were showing me that show we talked about last week where you have these senior citizens in a facility up to their titties in water.
Like, higher than their titties. Their titties would be there in 2 inches of water.
And they're still just crocheting away. So the waters are now receding. The last I saw this morning, it was almost 50 people dead. Mm-hmm. So it has taken a death toll.
It's no Katrina, though. I mean...
No, because it didn't come in and smash down an infrastructure. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting to see also was people in Houston knew it was inevitable. There was one fairly... high-end house. It wasn't a mansion necessarily, but a pretty nice house. This guy had built an inflatable dam around his house, saved his entire lawn and house and everything.
Saw that.
Well, if Irma,
that's what Noah needed to do, not build a goddamn ark.
Then you've got Irma coming. Well, who knows? And my mother's already in a panic about that. But who knows what's going to happen? It's so early. Like, you're not going to tell for another half a week or so. But at its current trajectory, and it's already a Category 4 out in the middle of the ocean, and it hasn't hit the hot water yet. It could be the largest hurricane in American history.
Yeah, they did say that.
But...
they said it could be a level 6.
Yeah, a level 6, which is unheard of.
It's difficult for the gays to say.
There you have CX. A level CX. Well, there's another one. Right after this one. Like, you know somewhere...
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere Al Gore is crying into his pillowcase going, you assholes, I told you. Anyway.
Well, we're way more concerned about, I don't know if you saw, that Michelle Obama wore a shirt that her sleeve, or most of her arm was showing. This was news. They're very upset about it. Michelle Obama exposed this much of her arm on vacation.
But mail order.
In a church.
Wait, mail order prostitute.
That's okay.
Just
obviously wore
a sleeveless dress to the eye burning elliptical.
Did you not see this story? No, this just popped up today. And I was like, someone got a picture of her and Barack Obama, and they were visiting a church somewhere in Europe. They were on vacation, so they're vacationing.
So she was supposed to be in a turtleneck?
But no, you just made the point. Okay, I'm looking at the most recent president's wife and her titties right now while she's in bed with a woman. I'm looking at that picture. But no one is upset about that. But they're upset about this much of a black woman's arm.
Right, but Morticia Trump is not black.
Right. Oh, that's what it is. You're right.
She's not, but Melanoma Trump isn't a monkey.
Right, right.
She's planning big trouble for moose and squirrel.
Joel Osteen, while we're on the topic.
The wonderful.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
So the bottom line was, he said, well, he's left. He's got this huge, it used to be, I think, a baseball.
Or a basketball.
I think it used to be called the Astrodome, I think.
The Astrodome.
Oh, wait, no, you're talking about his church.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a basketball. It was the Houston Rockets, I believe.
Hold 16,000 people.
Yeah.
16,000 people.
Yeah, it would be like our old Amway that we demolished.
It wasn't open. No, the other places down the street that held 5,000 of them immediately opened their doors. He did not.
The mosque.
Of course, mosque across the street. So there was an outcry, a public outcry. And my favorite part were the Christians who went to his church, who were videotaping, saying, I just walked 3 miles down to this church to show you guys it's completely accessible. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage Ricardo.
Hi, Ricardo. Hello.
Welcome back.
Hello, folks.
Fresh. Yeah. Oh, John Barking, barking at the black guy.
Yeah, always.
Lady, stop.
It's funny how Michael's
back
dog
from DC
is racist towards jump. Michael's best friend.
I know.
You have to love the irony.
All right, so, but he said, well, nobody asked. Because that's, you know, that's what Jesus...
I love that excuse.
Jesus waited until somebody asked.
Like, because Mattress Mike, or whatever his name was, waited for the city
to
ask.
Yeah, you've got a mattress guy down the street who's like, well, I've got a bunch of beds. Here, lay on.
And his entire inventory was ruined because of people who were wet and sleep. And he was like, it's just material stuff. We'll get it back.
I'm insured.
How Christ-like.
Yeah. How Christ-like.
And he doesn't get a tax break, but Osteen does.
Yeah, well, Joel Osteen said, well, they didn't ask. Mm-hmm. Well, when they did ask, Kathy, you stop.
Where is she barking?
Lady.
Christine, stop.
I'm Lady, sorry. Come here.
Christine.
Lady.
That is the most racist dog.
Your dog is straight up racist.
For our listening audience at home, Michael is now punishing the racist dog.
Take your finger out of there, Michael.
Mm. Oh. No touching.
So yes, about Olsen.
So he decided, well, they didn't really ask, blah, 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 blah. Well, today, breaking news on that, he passed out a collection plate. Now, let's forget that he was already, he's multi-millionaire. The church makes multi-millions, but he passed out a collection plate.
Because you never miss an opportunity
to
pass
people,
out the
to the people who are in, who are there in need. There was a collection plate passed.
Now, hold on. I'm going to, for the life of me, I don't know why, but I'm going to defend this tradition.
Go ahead.
Be good. The idea that there were people there worshiping and him passing out that plate, those people have every opportunity to donate to the Red Cross, the food banks, all the other... But they happen to be in a convenient place that's collecting the money. I don't have a problem with him passing out the plate, even though those people themselves are likely victims of the flood.
No, the people there are all victims. They're there in a shelter.
Well, that's what I mean. And, like, you know, not everyone.
Let me ask you. Let me ask you something.
Not everyone.
If you've got a 17-year-old girl on a gurney with her legs up. In with her legs up and a gynecologist inside of her grabbing the contents of a rape kit, would you walk over and say, would you like to give to the anti-rape fund?
I understand.
No, I'm sorry. No, that's not even true. Would you like to give to the gynecologist's fund? That's what this was about. If the gynecologist was making billions... I'm sorry.
You know how I feel about religion. I'm just saying, in this particular instance, I'm going to give him a pass based on the idea that those people there
have many, many options, and it's just...
Those people there just lost everything they own, and he's saying, what do you have on you that you can give me?
That's part of religion in itself. I've often said, why does God need money? Why does God doesn't need a
The Lord
a
works
church?
In mysterious ways.
If you know your Bible, it said Jesus actually says, pray to me in secret, in your bedroom. You know, you don't walk around and
for the same reason that Joel Osteen, a man who is running a multi-million dollar business, tax-free, tax-exempt, here, the Bible says it is easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than a rich man into heaven. But that horse-faced motherfucker doesn't have any trouble saying, give me money.
Well, it's the same, it's the, what do they call it, the prosperity gospel. You know, the gospel of prosperity. The more you give, the more you will get back. I mean...
Funny how that works.
I don't honestly believe in any of it. I find myself in such a weird place trying to even excuse religion, but in this particular instance, I know what you're saying. Their dollars that are in their pockets are wet, and he's saying, but I'll take it. I'll take it. I understand the outrage.
No, this is somebody who, the last time they had an incident, they discovered the last time that everything was shut down, it was like, well, we've got to take all the money out of the church before it's stolen. And it was something like, I don't know, $600,000 or something. That was the tithing. Well, cash. Was the tithing.
Somebody did the math, and they said if all 16,000...
$32 million annually.
Yeah, all 16,000 parishioners give $1 a week.
In tithing.
I get it. But, in this particular instance, I understand, I would say, why would you do it on any regular Sunday? In this case, there's an actual need for the money. But on a regular Sunday when they're passing around the collection plate, that's when I go, seriously, again, didn't we just do this last week? The stand-up comedian who says, when he went to church, they had, the door fund, and the bell fund, and the paint fund, and the carpet fund, and all that, and it was like...
Sounds hilarious.
when does the door get fixed and is done? You know, how much does the door need? And that's why I say, in this instance, I sort of can understand it, even though, again, you are asking from the people with wet dollars, but, every other Sunday, I don't see the need for it. That to me is the issue. Why does a church need money?
It was just
why does a church need tax-free money?
Well, anyway, here's the thing. With a ministry such as Joel Osteen, that is a multi-million dollar ministry. So there is money going to camera crews, to lighting designers. But I imagine the electricity alone to run a production that large. We've worked in productions where the deposit for a one-night show, the deposit on the electricity was $30,000 in a space smaller than Osteen's ministry. So I understand it takes a lot of money to run a circus that big and to put on a show that fancy.
And which to me is sort of goes against the very precepts of religion is why do you need giant?
I used to say that too. However, if they are using that, I can understand the justification saying, well, we're reaching millions.
We're repurposing an old building.
We are reaching millions of people rather than hundreds in a church.
But that if you don't know about Jesus at this point, you're living under a rock, or you're living in a rock.
No, but it's not about knowing about him. It's a lot of times it's about the celebration of or the... That's my point. My point is, raise your money. However, if your parishioners are willing to hand over their money every Sunday, that's fine. You don't ask a family of four drying their underwear out and trying to figure out how they're going to put their lives back together. Could you give me some money while you're here? I mean, the fact that he wouldn't open his doors to them in the first place was bad enough. But when he did, and he made several excuses for why he wouldn't.
I remember.
But when he did open the doors to say, well, can you give me your money while you're here?
Now that we're open for business.
Now that you're here, can you guys reach deep into your pockets? Like, would you go to a rape shelter and say, hey, I'm sorry you were raped. Can you give me
some money?
Can you give me some money to make sure that I can keep rape out of your vagina? That's just ridiculous to me. Anyway.
And I'm not defending at all what he did, but, I mean, that is kind of how, free clinics and things stay. It's like, you know, like they pay on a sliding scale. You know what I mean? So it is kind of like, I was just raped and I'm going to the doctor and I don't have any money, so I go to a place like...
Yeah, well, rape clinic doesn't have like $600 million in surplus.
And that is what I was going to say.
Planned Parenthood doesn't have that.
But that is the difference. This man who is standing here he ain't wearing Kmart clothes, is saying...
Or Kmart teeth.
Before I let you into my shelter... you need to pay rent. You know? So, I don't think he deserves a pass.
It's a travesty. Alright, we got a break, apparently.
Yes, we do.
Let's listen to something from TV on the radio. It's called Hours.
Oh, I never saw that show.
Alright, we'll be right back.
It's on the radio.
Are you looking for a leather harness or leather gear? Go Bear Gear is your local leather and nylon harness brand, and they are the best in Central Florida. They make custom harnesses as per your need and requirements. Leather jocks, cock rings, leather suspenders, armbands, and cuffs. They even make leather bow ties. In case leather's not your thing, they also make nylon and waterproof harnesses, and they have the best selection and the best prices on aromas. Go check out GoBear.com, that's GOBEARR, two R's, and Facebook.com/GoBear. If you're in the Central Florida area, give Raphael and Sam a call at 407-913-5536 for an appointment. Even if you want a private browsing experience, you can get that at GoBear. And if you mention that you heard about it here on Full of Grace, you get a 10% discount. Go Bear Gear is located in the beautiful Milk District of Orlando, Florida at 2430 East Robinson Street, Orlando, Florida 32803. That's GOBEARR.com with two R's. Go Bear Gear, leather and nylon.
This is Ginger Minge and you're listening to the Full of Grace show.
She's full of something.
Ooh. future youth. Summon to the sky.
Was like a rule at the studio that Walt had to be alone in the control room so he could beat off while they filmed the Mickey Mouse Club.
Oh, gross. Oh. I did not know.
Oh my god, I don't think we were supposed to hear that. We're
back. Yeah. Oh!
We're back.
Walt Friedman. Walt Friedman. I don't know who you're talking about.
Who were we listening to?
That was TV on the radio. It's called Hours.
Walt Friedman, like there would have been a Jew working there.
Yeah.
Gladys! Well, I'm trying to yank up some current events, but my computer is running rather slowly.
Is it? Well?
Oh, by the way, here's a good one. So there is now, this was my favorite. There's a new club. The hottest club in New York is called Oonk. It has everything. Midgets, stripper, no, it's a...
A bouncer dressed as Santa Claus that only high-fives adopted children. When you check in, you get your human fanny pack, which is just a dwarf that wraps its arms around your waist and carries your purse.
There's a club, it says, a club for people aged 35 and over just opened in New York City. If you're sick and tired of the flocks of selfie-taking, avocado-toast-eating youth that fill up dance halls across New York City these days...
And who isn't?
A new club is for you. Well, here's the best part. Don't get upset if you're under 35. It's open to everybody 21 and older.
What?
Like, that's called a goddamn bar, bitch. You're not telling me it's a club for people 35 and older. Like, what? Like, everything is painted in avocado green and orange? You only serve, like Miller Lite?
I thought this place already opened. It was called Rue LaRue, the Golden Girls Cafe.
Well, and I'm looking at the interior, and aside from a couple sort of vintage chairs, like the background is like, it's just a painting of a boombox.
And all the drinks are served in empty Campbell's soup cans.
No. Come on, like, can we not do better?
But it's the unpopular brands like Cream of Oyster.
Now, let me ask you, would you go?
What is it offering, though? I mean...
Thank you.
We have one of those in Orlando. It's called Hank's. It's called Barcodes.
Why don't you explain that to our listeners?
Describe Hank's.
Describe Hank's? Well, it has everything.
Gonorrhea, mostly.
It has everything. Especially the kind of things that penicillin can't fix. You want a night you'll never forget? Go to Hank's.
A group of women on their period riding a unicycle. The menstrual cyclists. Mm. Alright, wait 1 second. Let me shut this goddamn this pop-up down and I can tell you what it's got. It's called Retro Club NYC. Mm. Oh my god, it's in my old neighborhood! Oh. Giant Jew. In fact, here's the funny part. This used to be the old Porky's.
Oh.
Porky's as in the film Porky's.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Porky's. It's geared towards 35 and over crowd. Now open on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights until Matlock's over. And then you gotta go to bed. How about the bartender's like, you don't gotta leave, but you can't, but you don't have to go to your home. or to the home, but you can't stay here.
They don't have musical Mondays. They have Murder, She Wrote
it's
Mondays.
It's over Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights. The spot features throwback music from the 70s, 80s, and 90s and aims to be reminiscent of the bygone clubs of those eras.
So where do you do the cocaine?
Quote, we're catering to a slightly older crowd, owner Jeff Whittles tells us. I don't think there are any dance clubs like that in the city. Here's a note to Jeff Whittles. There are no dance clubs left in New York City.
Right, because it's not 1997.
There's a couple like straight clubs. The gay clubs are dead. Not just because of that, but because why would gays go out and spend like $20 to get through a velvet rope and another $10 per cocktail, and that's how much just a martini is, like 10 bucks, to stand around looking for dick when you can dial it in at home with Grindr or Manhunt or whatever.
Manhunt?
Manhunt.
Still on dial-up?
Manhunt.
It's been a minute. Give me a break, whore.
And if you can't find anything there, you go to rentboy.com.
I don't know. The bar is more of a celebration than a recreation of New York City's discotheques. Of yore, alright, well, you're already too old.
Did you find this on Ask Jeeves?
And is designed to attract people who twinkled their toes into the night when acts like the Bee Gees and Sylvester were the height.
So in other words, Miss Sammy's opened a club in New York.
That's basically, yeah. We're bringing back the vibe from the old days of Studio 54, Whittle said, except without some of the things that got them into trouble, like fun. If you're a 20-something who simply wants to groove out to some vintage jams, fear not. Retro Club New York City is open to everyone older than 21. Which defeats the fucking purpose. I hope they die. I hope it burns down. And I hope they all go to hell. Thank you, Jesus. I hope they all go to hell. What else is here?
I can't think of anything that would be more like hell.
When's that breaking news coming up? I've been ready for it.
Oh my God. So, while we were talking about the hurricane, you guys know, did you hear that Donald Trump gave $1 million to the relief effort?
He said
he would. He gave $1 million. This just in, he's no longer giving that money to them.
You don't say.
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, the best part Indian was giver. That he was like, oh, how dare you.
That is
so
racist. Good Lord.
How dare you. He is Native American giving.
Right.
He said, I'm giving $1 million. And then his tax shelter looked back and said, there's no room. I said, the Mexicans don't give a G. Here's the best part, though, is he offered $1 million. And we're like, well, my mother called me today. You know, I don't think much of that boy. But he did give them $1 million.
Oh, Lord.
And I said, no, he didn't. He took it back. And he offered $5 million for Obama's birth certificate.
Right.
So Obama's birth certificate meant more to him than the well-being of... But here's the best part. Here's the best part. On his way back onto the plane out of Houston today, he said, all right, goodbye, everybody. Have a good time.
Yeah.
Have a good time. Oh, he's retarded.
Well, okay.
He's retarded.
Can I say, completely off the subject?
Sure.
You know how I love the CNN docs that they do? There's one, I think it's tonight or tomorrow, called The Reagan Years, where they are attempting to kind of normalize this wacky behavior of our president.
Not normalize it.
Because
they're willing, I think I saw it as they're showing us that this isn't the first time this chestnut's been trotted out.
Right. That we've had an idiot.
This isn't the first time you all have been that naive and gullible.
Right.
And I think that's what they're trying to do over at CNN, and saying, look, you guys, it didn't work out so well in the last the last time around, but you all were fascinated by pomp and circumstance or by personality. The difference was that Reagan was an actor, and he at least knew how to play the part. Like, I pretend I care, even though, like you were saying, most of the time he didn't have a fucking clue what was going on. This asshole currently in office isn't even, like, he's pretending, but he's pretending on a grade school level. Like, it's like we're all idiots. Like, we're all complete idiots. Now, I did see something interesting yesterday. I thought was it's hard to keep hope. You know, we always get, every day there's some new, fresh sort of, here's another reason to impeach him. Well, we get a couple of those a week. But until the Republicans say, yeah, we got to get this asshole out, it will never happen.
Right.
However, we've been waxing and waning over this terrifying, well, if he does scare, then what? Then you've got Pence. Well, no, you don't have Pence, because Pence is going to be found guilty for the same purposes. And oh, shit. Then we've got Paul Ryan. Right. And I can't imagine anything more terrifying than that. Except that if this all plays out, because an impeachment takes a minute to do, if we win back the Senate in 2018, Paul Ryan won't be the House Speaker.
Nancy Pelosi
will become president.
So we want an impeachment
an impeachment will take 12 to 18 months no matter what. Unless he resigns first. But even then you get Pence in, they start impeachment processes on him. That's still going to take months. The Speaker of the House could be Nancy Pelosi by the time all of that happens. If the Democrats, I say we because I'm an independent, if the Democrats get off their asses this time and vote, then she will be Speaker of the House again. She could be your next President of the United States.
And if you want to introduce the Republicans to somebody they hate more than Hillary Clinton,
it is Nancy Missy.
Let me introduce Madam Speaker.
They will do everything in their power to shoot that one in the foot. Wouldn't it be funny? Would that not be hilarious?
Typically, though, what would happen is something like if they were heading towards an impeachment, the vice president would resign as well before an impeachment
happened. He would have to this time around, dear. He would have to. Also in the news, it looks like Pulse Nightclub is actually...
Reopening.
In a new location. The old location is, in fact, becoming a memorial.
Yeah.
And it looks like they are now physically working on opening... a location elsewhere with some of these funds. That's kind of awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Happy to see it.
I just drove by the old Pulse.
I still have not been by since before it happened.
Really?
I've never seen the memorial.
I've only been like three times.
I've driven out of my way to not drive by.
I've never seen the memorial.
It's
ever.
Sad.
I've never seen it. Well, but you know what? When I moved to New York... September 11th, 2002. Mm-hmm. So I would go to the village and all the buildings that have been torn down that were not... I mean, the demolitions had nothing to do with 9/11, but when a building's brought down in New York City, they put up a chain link fence around the site until the building starts being built. And still, a year later to the day... the chain link fence was completely plastered with memories and then still missing people, mm-hmm. photographs, and then you'd have ceramics and, you know, sort of, it was just awful. I can't believe next week will be 15 years since I moved to New York City. That's nuts.
Mm.
That's nuts. And I guess we're doing a show then on, is it the 11th?
Of
September. Is that on a Sunday? Sure. No, it's on Monday. So next week we will be doing a 9/11 show.
Oh, that's right.
It's much already... to Jay's chagrin.
Should I save my
I
joke?
I won't be here.
Oh, thank God he won't be here.
Should I save my joke till next week then?
No.
Knock. Okay. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
9/11.
9/11 who?
You said you'd never forget.
You know what?
They've got Princess Diana jokes. No. Okay.
Too soon.
Okay. Let's check in.
20 years. Can you believe that? Mm. 20 years since Diana put
was murdered by the Queen.
Head and shoulders in the glove compartment.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, what else do we have here? We've got... nope. Can't do that. I'm so sorry. My computer's moving slowly. Oh, it's more Joel Osteen.
30 years since the Challenger. 32.
Yeah, I was going to say more than that.
Since Krista McAuliffe revealed to everyone that she had blue eyes. One blew this way and one blew that way.
Oh, you know, someone we've had on the show our first year, Randy Jones of the Village People is back on the Billboard charts.
Yeah, no, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's kind of, and the CD is really good.
I haven't heard it yet, but I know
I'll let
his
you
voice
buy it.
And
I'll
amazing.
Bring it to you. Like it's a definitely a different. It's much. It's not Village People. It's much more updated. But he's doing very well for himself, and I'm happy to see that.
Mm-hmm.
What chart is he on?
Billboard.
Contemporary Christian.
Billboard charts. No.
Top 100 or dance.
Dance.
Yeah, the top of the dance chart.
It couldn't happen to a nicer guy. I'm happy
He's
to
sweet.
See. He's a good man. No, he really is.
Yeah, I do. I'm not arguing.
Let's see. Bianca.
Pick a fight with me.
Oh, Bianca Del Rio speaking in Australia. You guys know.
I watched that. I didn't.
They're going through the marriage equality debate in Australia, and it is really getting heated up over there.
That seems interesting because we always think of Australia being very
progressive. Yeah. Nope.
I assumed that the gays could get married in Australia.
I assumed it as well. Nope.
But then there's always, like, New Zealand, which is, like, the Alabama of Australia. It's, like, when people are from New Zealand, they're like, oh, you're a mouth breather.
I just talked to my mom today. You know, my mom just got back from Europe.
Yes.
So my mom's been hopping around. She went to Copenhagen, Denmark, and then she went to Amsterdam. And
did she do the Anne Frank house?
You know, I don't know. I'll have to ask her about that.
Surely.
Did
she pull out a titty at the end frame? Because she's always naked.
Yeah, well. I when I was in Amsterdam, and you should ask her this, I cannot believe that they could not find Anne Frank in all those years she was up in that attic. Because every 5 feet, there's a directional sign to her house.
Really?
Like,
yeah.
I mean, stupid Nazis.
Everyone would know. Well, my mom was like, oh, they had such a good time in Copenhagen, and she said, then you know, we went to Amsterdam, you know, where, you know, marijuana is legal. Right. And I said, yes, I know.
She walked into a dressing room and said to the person in the dressing room next to her, excuse me, where's the toilet paper? She was taking a big crap in the dressing room. Right.
Now, do you suppose in Amsterdam, like living in Orlando, there are certain places we know not to go because it's touristville. You know what I mean? Like, we know if we're going to go out to eat, we're not going to the Pizzeria Uno's on iDrive.
Right.
It'll be surrounded by British people and men here on conventions that are just trying to grab the ass of the waitress.
Right.
Or we know not to go near Kissimmee for $1.92 because you're just going to find the much poorer tourists out there. So I have to wonder if there's, like a Dave and Buster's somewhere in Amsterdam where all the tourists go and the people working there are like, oh, fucking Americans. Stoned off their ass and think it's hilarious because they're out in public. You know what I mean? Like, because there's nothing more
You've
annoying.
Been, though, right?
I've never been to Amsterdam. I've been to England. and Scotland.
That's very different, isn't it?
And Spain.
We can't do Ireland without taking a quick stop by Amsterdam.
I agree. It's right there.
I just always figured when you went to Europe, you got yourself a little book of tickets, and you go on the Swiss ride and the French ride and the Amsterdam ride.
It's an A ticket to get to Amsterdam, but it's a D ticket to get to Auschwitz.
Yep. Oh.
The more expensive. What? You can go to Auschwitz.
Too soon.
Is it?
Too soon. You were saying, though, quickly about your mother.
I just can't concentrate.
Oh. Well, that's break time. But oh. You wanted to talk about this maybe before. So one, we haven't done Zsa Zsa. Are you doing it?
Oh, sure.
Well, we'll come back to Zsa Zsa. But
yes, we will.
But this song has to do with...
This is Steely Dan. Do It Again. Walter Becker passed away today.
What? Thank you.
And Charles Nelson Reilly gave the award for Titus Das to Herve Villegas.
Oh my God, we're back.
Oh. He was a little person. Oh, we're back.
Well, Charles was normal sized.
Who was that?
Steely Dan.
It was Herve Villegas.
So, finishing up on these Gaily Dispatch. So, how do you deal with a problem like Korea? North Korea tested a nuclear bomb today.
And it came back positive, and now they're on meds.
And PrEP. South Korea's on PrEP, just in case. It's getting tense again. And I think we all know with this current administration that you keep pulling the lion's tail and he's going to bite. Are you guys familiar with the story at all?
About the lion's
tail? So my question was, how do you deal? Like, what do you do? Like, there's now talk within the news organization said, oh, well, maybe there's going to be a really tough sanction that basically just isolates them from the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. I think we're past that, though, right? They've already got enough. They don't give a shit that everybody there is starving.
No, but they will once it starts to affect their power. And I don't care what anybody says. There's always room for diplomacy. There always is.
I agree.
And while we may not be able to answer the question, how do you solve a problem like Korea, there are an abundance of how do you not solve a problem like Korea. And one of them is having a moron with a Twitter handle.
Yeah.
In charge.
North Korea. Here we go again.
My.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I've got to write that, don't I? I have to write it. North Korea. He's just Kim Jong-un. He's just smiling and beaming. Like, look at the good we can do. And I had that conversation with my mother today. Who was just, here we go with those assholes again. Dot, dot, dot. And I was like, Mom, but I'm not trying to play devil's advocate ever with North Korea. However, I'm going to. However, like, what are they supposed to do? We basically painted them into a corner where they're only getting the simplest of exchanges from China and Russia and whatnot. The people who live there, I feel so sorry for the citizens because they're just going, we love our supreme leader. Please don't kill us. I had electricity and food.
They're not saying please don't kill us. They don't know anything that's happening outside of their country.
Well, there's a great documentary by Lisa Ling. Is it Lisa Ling?
It's her sister. No, it's Lucy Liu's sister.
Lisa Ling.
Lucy
Wu.
No, it's Cindy Lou Who.
No, from The View, Lisa Ling.
Right? Is it her? It's somebody. It's either Lisa Ling or Lucy Liu.
Sherry Shepherd.
She basically, they put together this documentary where they break that wall and go in under the guise that they're doing a documentary about basically an optometrist who was coming in to heal people from cataracts and whatnot for free. And they come in and sneak in basically to show America what's actually going on behind that curtain. And it is heartbreaking. It's literally these huge boulevards, these gigantic paved boulevards that were once used to display their might and their power with tanks. And they still do.
Did you saw the Bee Gees?
Yeah, but it. Video. But they finally unwrap. You know, these people have had their eyes repaired, and the first thing they look upon is a picture of their supreme leader, and say, "Oh, thank you, supreme leader, for curing my sight." Not thank you, American doctor. Not thank you, Jesus. Not Jesus.
How dare they?
But the bottom line is that they say in the documentary, we can't tell if they're saying thank you to the Supreme Leader because they mean it, or because they're terrified if they don't say that they will be killed. It is that sort of life over there. So imagine then, directly across the border, you have South Korea, who is living with much more freedom, but constantly in a state of panic that this fat child on the other side is going to lose his cool and drop a bomb. And now he is. He's dropping bombs over Japan, for crying out loud. I don't know. Like, I agree with you. Like, diplomacy, please. No war. Please, nobody drop an atom bomb. I get it. But at some point, and I hate being that guy, but could somebody not just go in and start knocking them off? Like, could somebody please come into America and start knocking them off? Like, that would help, too.
Well, it...
I didn't say that. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Trump. I didn't mean it.
I don't know if you can...
What do you... No, we don't. We can't. We can't. That's part of the rules.
Why? We did it to Saddam Hussein.
And Gaddafi.
We did it to Gaddafi.
But that wasn't an assassinate. That wasn't under the guise of we assassinate and then step back out of it pretending like we had nothing to do with it. We went in specifically to kill his ass. We can't do that with North Korea because then that...
Well, they're allied with China.
Yeah, well, China and Russia would say, really? Now we go to nuclear war. That's where we're at. But what I was telling my mother is, like, we're at a point now, like, we're the only nation on the planet ever to use that bomb offensively. Mm-hmm. Who are we to tell any other country, nope, you can't have them, they're not stable enough. Well, we've been at war all of our republic.
I just can't understand why nobody can say to Kim Jong-un, you know that if you do this, like, your dynasty is over. Your country is over.
He has responded to that. He has said, yes, we understand if we fire one bomb, we are blown off the face of the planet. But so is South Korea. And so are you.
But they can't get to us.
No, but Russia can. And China can. They know that the moment the first bomb drops, they all start flying. And they are willing to die so that we perish. They're willing to say, all right, take us all with it. But you're going down. If you're not going to let us live the way we want, we'll all go down in smoke.
But I mean, if it comes to dropping bombs, I mean, what are they going to take out? Seattle? You know, what are they going to take out? Alaska?
It's not what they can do. They might hit, maybe hit Guam, might hit Japan.
But I mean, even if Russia does, we could still, we have like 5 times the size of their military.
No. Here's the deal. Thanks to Obama, we now have much fewer nuclear bombs than Russia. Obama started this, he put in regulations like, let's all start dropping back our nuclear bombs, let's not do this. And Russia did do a bit of that, but they still vastly, but it doesn't matter. It's enough, like, the moment that the first bomb starts flying, they all go. It is the end of the world as we know it. Maybe people will survive the nuclear winter, but it is in fact a global thermonuclear war. Because it isn't just America versus Korea. It's America versus Russia, China, and China, which has stepped in and said, hey, you guys, can you, Trump and Kim Jong-un, please shut up? We're not going to... They reached out and said, Korea, on this one, you're on your own. We're not going to support you. And then they immediately turned around and said, but we notice that all of this is being fueled entirely by the American president. And we're not going to get your back either. Japan has no arms. That's the next where they're trying to fight. Japan, after the Second World War, said, we're going to just be peaceful now. We're not going to do this. They have no bombs. Now, I have no problems believing that America has a surplus of arms, the likes of which America and the rest of the world never had any idea of. I'm sure we have the most toys. I'm positive of it. And I'm sure when these bombs start flying that we have toys the world never even knew we had. America never knew we had. But once the Allies get involved, it's game over for everybody. Except for those who were left behind to pick up the pieces, if there are people left behind to pick up the pieces. I am very nervous about North Korea, and I don't know what that is, but since 2009, when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, Kim Jong-il was sort of pushing his weight around, and she was getting a little testy about it and was like, look, don't take your dick out and start wagging at me. And I immediately went, this is not going to end well. And they're now, with this president, they don't care. They're just poking us with a stick, seeing how far they can push. I don't know how that's going to be. We're not going to be able to do that alone. It'll take China. It'll take their allies stepping up and saying, Kim Jong-un, sit your ass down. You're not going to drag us all into a world war. I hope that's what happens, but it doesn't look probable with somebody like Donald Trump on the other end. Hmm. So, but there is good news.
What happened?
guess who? There's a party going on.
Oh, I
right here.
I just did breaking news.
No, there's breaking news. Guess who just RSVP'd in the affirmative?
Please lower your heads in silence as we now reflect on those who have passed away this week and have gone on to prepare Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Zsa Zsa Gabor. Trip hop, psychedelic, funk master, house party in the sky.
I hate her. I hate that queen.
Oh, you're gonna love this. speaking of world wars, a World War II spy has died at 98. And you know what? She's sneaking into Zsa Zsa's house through the laundry room. But that's not what's important. Larry Sherman, Donald Trump's first publicist and New York actor, dead at 94. Oh, I'm just happy he's dead. If you saw me, you'd recognize him, though. He did a lot of North by Northwest, Law and Order. He's also an asshole. And I'm glad he's dead. So, Richard Anderson. Good old Rick.
Dick.
You would know him. Come here and look. Actor from the $6 Million Man who wedded the bionic Lindsay Wagner. You remember him? Uh-uh. Oh, I used to think he was hot for a silver fox.
Is that Lee Majors?
That is. Lee Majors. That's
still alive?
That's from the 70s. So parts of him are still alive. But that's not the big news. Big news? Shelley Berman, stand-up comic who skewered modern life, dead at 92.
Oh my God.
Along with Lenny Bruce and others, he redefined comedy in the mid-20th century.
Was Shelley Berman, he was the Hello Mata?
Hello Father.
That is him, isn't it?
Or was it? Or was that Lenny
Bruce? Oh, I don't care.
Who gives a shit?
But the big news, Walter Becker, Steely Dan guitarist and co-founder, dead at 67. 67. It says right now, due to an unspecified illness.
Okay.
So, Coke? What do you think? Steely Dan?
No.
Fiber?
No, I don't think it's Coke. Loads.
It's too soon to speculate, but they seem like they're pretty much mellowed out, you know. From
ain't a bad shroom.
Well, they're all damned. That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
You'll never make it, my dear, if you're a bit jealous. I know women like you.
Well, here we are with 9 minutes left of the show.
I'm sorry.
Fresh out. This has been a really great show, you guys.
Well, did you...
This is one for the books.
It has been.
No, I feel like I've done the whole thing in a trance. I think some of your cult is wearing off on me.
It's wearing me out. Oh. What 80s movie did you watch this week?
I saw... I watched Quantum of Solace. I had never seen that with Daniel Craig. Wow.
Loved it.
Man, was that intense.
Who knew I was such a fan of James Bond movies?
So intense.
He's great. He was a great James Bond, too, I think.
Yeah, for sure. What 80s movie did I see this week?
I revisited, because I have Retroplex, which just shows a bunch of older movies, and old by me, I mean from my childhood. And I revisited once again Pretty in Pink.
Oh.
And I just can't stand Molly Ringwald.
No?
Molly Ringwald, I just can't.
Boring as paint, dead behind
However, Cryer. Ducky.
John Cryer.
Who reminds me of my friend Christopher, who listens to us every week. Ducky. And every time I watch that movie, I feel like I'm back in the room with Ducky, with my friend Chris. He and Designing Women, Annie Potts, were both just fantastic in that movie. But the production value was what I want to talk about. Like, there's something about a John Hughes film that is very predictable, and you know what you're getting when you buy a ticket. But the way he would film... Oh my God, it just reminds me of the best parts of the 80s. I love it. But John Cryer. Oh, he was so good. And Annie Potts. Both of them, I just was cheering the entire time.
Annie Potts is one of those that you forget how long she's been in show business, and because you rarely see her anymore show up on TV, it's kind of like when B. Arthur started doing the talk show rounds to promote the DVD of The Golden Girls being released, and all of a sudden this very old woman walked out that used to be B. Arthur, and you're like, because I have watched Annie Potts remain 35 years old through reruns of Designing Women for the past 30 years.
But
now she's almost 70.
Even in The Knots, when she was showing up in like Law and Order and stuff like that, like she's got a look that's held up with time. She did pretty well until she didn't. But she still looks like Annie Potts. Like she didn't have any extreme plastic surgery. Every time I see her act in something, I'm like, oh, there she is. Mm-hmm. I love her. And she's a little one note. You know, even in that show, there was something a little too country for her urban New York character. There was that very sort of like, all right, Annie. However, I love her. I love her.
So it's Pretty in Pink, then. I'd like to just get the consensus then from that genre and that time period. Is Pretty in Pink the movie for you?
Some Kind of Wonderful.
Never saw it.
I had such a huge crush on Eric Stoltz. I still do. I still do. Like, every time I say, even in Pulp Fiction or...
Mask.
Oh, in Mask. Oh, just grab onto that grab onto the hip bone that was attached to his head. That what is this, a pelvis? But I'm beautiful on the inside. Yeah, Rocky, but there's a limit.
What was yours, Michael?
Oh, wait. Can we talk about him for a second, though? Am I just kidding? Like, you've seen Pulp Fiction 1,000 times.
Oh, I love Eric Stoltz.
Come on. I've always thought he was
he was the original Marty McFly. And there are videos.
And I've seen the footage of it, and he wouldn't. There is no topping Michael J. Fox in that role. Am I right? Tell me, girl.
Tell that to Christopher Lloyd.
Oh, by the way, I did also watch Teen Wolf with Michael J. Fox. And so you get to see, him in his underwear a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh my God, he was like, he was like 40 with the body of a 6-year-old.
40.
He was like a little boy.
What about Teen Wolf 2, starring the wonderful Justin Bateman?
Who I hated until until Arrested Development. And then I fell in love with Justin Bateman.
He's Jason.
Jason Bateman, not Justine. I hated him because he was always the snobby asshole on Silver Spoons or whatever. And so I was always saw him as that until you get to Arrested Development, which I think is one of the most genius shows I've ever seen.
Ever.
And he was great in that, but much like Robert Downey Jr., watching them go from that to where they are now as adults. First of all, they both aged beautifully.
Hasn't aged a day.
I mean, no, they just got hot. They got like masculine and hot. And they both got funny in a really sort of cool way, like a hip. Sort of
get the joke now.
I want to be just like that kind of cool. You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
Cool table at the lunchroom.
What about yours, Michael? What was your growing up 80s movie?
It would be three of his films, actually.
John Hughes?
Yeah, 16 Candles.
Uncle Buck?
Because I was right at the right age for all these 16 Candles, not Uncle Buck.
Goonies?
No. You're talking Goonies about teenage movie that I related to?
Yeah.
Like
Breakfast Club?
Breakfast Club and then Pretty in Pink.
And what was the third?
16 Candles.
16 Candles first.
That's mine.
See, 16 Candles was more your
yeah, that was
16 Candles number one.
But that was, we were
Breakfast
right
Club
in,
number two.
That was,
and then for me, it's and for
so
you, Pretty
cool.
In Pink.
Oh my God, it's so
for
funny.
Me, it's Weird Science.
You guys.
Oh, well, I love that too. Yeah. Yeah.
You guys are the same age as my older brother, and I remember when I saw.
I almost watched that.
16 Candles. I was like, it did not relate to me because it was a bit too old for me when I was that age.
Yeah.
When it came out.
Which one?
16 Candles.
Weird Science for me, I will watch over and over again, I believe.
Still
it
do.
It began my fetish for boys in little tiny underwear.
walking around
in those panties.
Yeah, wearing the girls' panties. Mm. Wearing Kelly LeBrock's panties.
Kelly LeBrock.
Who have you seen lately?
No.
Not well. Yeah. Not well.
But she was so beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Kelly LeBrock.
I have to say that one of mine, thanks to HBO and the high volume of it playing during my youth, is a wonderful little-known film called Space Camp, starring the wonderful Leah Thompson.
I remember that.
Wait, Space Camp, who else was in that?
The black nerd, gay nerd from Revenge of the Nerds, Lamar. Was in it. Who else was in it?
Kate Capshaw was the.
It wasn't Corey.
That's right.
It wasn't Corey Feldman. That's right. Kate Capshaw.
Kelly Preston. Joaquin Phoenix.
True story about.
I need an Olmsburn
and,
like
and Tom
now.
Skerritt.
Oh, the wonderful.
True story about Space Camp. Is that former guest on the show, Elizabeth Van Meter's sister, who flew the plane across the United States and whatnot. She went to space camp. They gave her an opportunity to use the space shuttle simulator. She was 11 years old, and she landed the simulator on her first attempt. An 11-year-old. And that's not an easy thing to do. It's not like flying a plane. It's
no, it's a glider. It's the world's biggest, heaviest glider.
Yeah, and she landed it on her first attempt. Can you believe that? Well, anyway. All right, well, you guys have been a delight.
Did she get to put her initials in, like Space Invaders?
She did. She did. And it turns out that VVM... Oh, she wrote VVM and a piece of the foam chipped off on the Challenger. It didn't... too soon?
Oh, sorry.
You guys have been a delight. Big round of applause for my consecrated crew. I just want to say thank you to those of you listening. I'm very sorry for tonight's show, but...
What was wrong with tonight's show?
I don't know. Play another game of words with friends over there, Mr. Invested.
Am I not involved in this conversation?
No. No, you've been playing words with friends.
Can I make a personal statement before we leave?
Please.
Happy birthday to my dad.
Happy birthday to your dad. That was a nice
Happy birthday.
Happy
birthday.
Your dad was handsome.
To Mr. Lee.
Mr. Lee.
He do your laundry.
How old?
I don't know.
Oh,
you
know how old your dad?
We don't talk about these things in my family.
I know what? I've known this bitch for years, and I still don't even have a clue what her age is. Not a clue.
That's a pretty funny statement, isn't it?
Well, thank you, guys. I love you.
Love you more.
Thank you, guys, for listening. Oh, I also want to send a special shout-out to Jenna, who is not living for us this evening.
What? How dare
she's not living for us this evening.
No, I know she wasn't on.
She was not on because she's a judge at Miss Gay North Carolina.
Oh God.
And a performer. And I got an email back from her last night, and apparently she sang her tits off.
Oh, good.
Everyone went nuts, and she's like, I thought about you, blah, blah, blah. And then I started going through her Facebook page, and it was like, holy shit. It was like,
she tears it out when she sings.
But you have to understand that Jenna is so ingrained into drag culture and pageantry that the fact that she's even, like, for her to go back and be invited backstage at Miss USA or something like that, that's used to be a big deal for her. Now she's part of that crowd. And I'm just so grateful that the pageantry systems in North Carolina, particularly FFI America, has been so accommodating and so welcoming of Jenna. They get the sort of branding she does for drag as a straight woman dressed as a drag queen. But and I can't wait to see what the hell she was wearing when she performed. She's like, yeah, I tore it up and I look really pretty and blah, blah, blah. I'm sure that there was nails out to there.
Oh, yeah. Lots of rhinestones.
And about 60 gross of rhinestones on her gown. So big round of applause.
Yay!
You guys, thank you very much. Happy Labor Day. Who has to work tomorrow?
I do.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
Well, you're just putting on a show.
I'm off.
And you?
I don't have a job until Thursday.
So you get a long vacation week.
Ugh, I'm going crazy.
Thank you guys so
You're
much
welcome.
For taking this time, especially you, because I know you've had a loaded weekend, and you, because I know you obviously look at you look so worn out. You guys have been great. Thank you. Have a good night.
All right, good night. Next week.